soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Good morning. This talk is called Back to Basics. And the reason for this talk is because, well, sometimes we can get way out there. When we talk in the absolute, in the I am that I am, we sometimes stray from the path. We forget our, well, we forget the basics. And so this is a good time for review, to return to some of the basics that we hopefully have learned and are already practicing. When we enter the spiritual path, many of us learn to first, practice the presence. And of course, that means acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He shall direct thy paths. It means remembering before you get out of bed in the morning that the presence of God is right here where I am, living itself, as itself, infinitely. It means remembering when you sit down for a meal that God is my supply, infinite, invisible, spiritual substance appearing as the food on my table. It means remembering God before you go out the door in the morning. Because of omnipresence, I live and move and have my being in infinite God consciousness, and whithersoever thou goest, I go. I, the presence of God. It means, as often as you can, pausing during the day and realizing that the presence of God appears as one life with many faces. Every one that I come in contact with today is the presence of God appearing individually. It means remembering God as you're driving home on the highway. There's only one mind, the mind of God, and that mind is functioning infinitely and individually as every driver that appears to be passing me on the highway. Not only is that intelligence operating my vehicle, but every vehicle. It means remembering God when you walk into your house or when you come home to your family. God is the only presence here. God is appearing as my family, and the only companionship I have is with that loving presence, and that loving presence flows through me. One loving presence is here. It means remembering God as you lay down at night before you fall asleep. Though my body rests and my mind rests, I continue to function. The presence of God continues to function right where I am. And so, practicing the presence is where this whole thing starts. This is the foundation upon which your house is being built. The foundation of the presence of the living God. And your house is your developed Christ consciousness. And so the foundation is very important. Without it, your house will not stand. Now, we need to move to the next step in the basics of spiritual living, and that is practicing the art of meditation. This we should do as many times in the day as is possible. And as has been pointed out in previous talks and previous books, it is not so important that you sit down for an hour at a time, as much as it is important that you have maybe 20 or 30 periods of meditation each day and into the night, taking a minute to a minute and a half, 2 minutes, 5 minutes at the most, and contemplating some truth, some scripture, some passage in a book, some truth that comes to you when you sit down, contemplating it, pondering it, until you reach a state of stillness. You've thought everything you can for the moment about that truth, and now you are simply resting. Your part of meditation is done, and you ask the Father to speak. Speak, Father. Thy servant heareth. You listen. You are practicing being receptive to that presence which you have declared throughout the day. And in your developed receptivity, you feel the presence. You sense it. You have an actual experience of the presence of God overshadowing you, or filling you, or stirring within you. You feel it, and the emphasis is on the word feel. You are practicing the presence, you are practicing meditation. You are building a house not made with hands, which will be and is eternal in the heavens. By now, you begin to see that the presence is real. God is, and God is living itself right where you are. In an individual way, God is expressing in and as your life. And now others begin to ask you for help. Say, what are you doing? You seem to be in the right place at the right time. Good things are happening to you. You don't seem so worried as you used to be. Tell me, what are you doing? Or they may come up to you and say, you know, my wife is scheduled for surgery on Thursday. Will you pray for her? Or I'm having this problem. Will you pray for me? Or perhaps you just become aware of someone that has a problem. And knowing that the presence of God is working in your life, you wonder, how can you apply these principles so the presence of God will work there too? This talk is back to basics, and we're going to talk about the basics. And so, in this third step, we are ready to begin our first attempts at the art of spiritual healing. And there are some basics to practicing spiritual healing. If we have followed the previous steps, we know by now that spiritual healing is not the same as mental healing, which we find elsewhere in other books and other fellowships. Mental healing is where you take and apply affirmations and denials to bring about a change in an outer picture. And that works if you work it correctly, but here, for our purposes, we are interested today only in spiritual healing and how to practice that as the ongoing development of our house, our Christ consciousness. And so we begin by learning what is the nature of error. What is the nature of these problems that are being presented to our door, to the door of our consciousness? If we have followed the previous steps, we should be getting a inner knowing that these problems that are appearing to us are nothing more than mental images. By now we have seen several of them dissolve, because in the presence of God, mental images dissolve. We have learned in our meditations that when God speaks, the earth of mental images melts. And so we are learning that there is nothing out there that needs repair or fixing or patching up. We are learning that what we are seeing with the senses is in the mind. It is a part of what has been called world mind or mortal mind or carnal mind. And if none of those terms mean anything to you because you did not come up through Christian Science or Unity or New Thought, then disregard them. You can use another term, any term you like. So long as you are beginning to recognize the truth that mental images are not external, so long as you are beginning to see that mental images have no substance. If you like, you can use the term the belief in good and evil, a universal belief. Here in spiritual healing is where we learn that this universal belief is not a personal belief. These are not personal mental images. They do not belong to you nor to anyone else that is having a problem. They are universal mental images. They are the universal belief in two powers, the universal belief in good and evil. And there's really no answer to the question, where did it all come from? The best story we have is the story of the second chapter of Genesis, where man ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so if you need a starting point, that would be where it started. Man was one with God and living in perfect harmony until he ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And immediately he became aware of his nakedness, which means that the moment that he took into himself the belief in good and evil, immediately he experienced a sense of separation and saw a body made of matter. course, it was only a mental image, but then that same knowledge of good and evil looked around and began to name everything as something separate from God. And so we don't really know where the beginning was, but we do know enough to know that this is not an external illusion. This is the universal belief in good and evil that is operating in our consciousness until we detect it and cast it out, or if you prefer, see through it. And so spiritual healing starts with understanding that the nature of error is a mirage, a universal mirage belonging to no one, without substance, without cause, without God power, a nothingness. The entire human picture is made up of the belief of good and evil. And we won't go into it in great depth, but if you look at it, the entire human life span is spent in trying to change evil into good. Whether you are working on your finances, whether you are working on your health, whether you are working on your marriage, your partnership, your spouse, your partner, your relationships, your companionship, whether you are working on a little higher or more noble cause, such as trying to change poverty into enough substance for people to eat, or you're working on stopping war and turning it into peace, do we see how the entire human race is seeing everything through a glass darkly, through the belief in good and evil, and the need to change evil into good? This is the only illusion there is. Every idea, every illusory thought, idea, or image stems from the original belief in good and evil. So we really only have one error, and that is the belief in good and evil. Nothing is good and nothing is evil, but thinking makes it so. And so the truth is that there is nothing good or evil. Alright, so getting back to the basics, in the art of spiritual healing, we must recognize the nature of error as a belief, a universal belief in good and evil, belonging to no one, having no power, no cause, no reality, no God in it. It is nothingness. That is the nature of error. And now we must know the nature of God, which, if we have been practicing the presence and we have been practicing the art of meditation, then we are beginning to have a God experience, not a God thought or a God theory, but an actual living God experience. And we are beginning to see that His grace is our sufficiency everywhere. We are beginning to see that God is omnipresence itself, that grace is omnipresent. We are beginning to see that when we are still, when we are quiet, we become aware of the isness of God. God living itself, as itself, infinitely. And so, understanding in the basics the nature of error as nothingness and the nature of God as omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience, well, the nature of prayer comes naturally. We naturally learn that there is nothing we can tell God, and that our job is to be a transparency through which God functions, and that we become a transparency when the glass darkly, the belief in two powers, is seen through, or let go of, or realized as nothingness. And so we learn how to practice the art of spiritual healing. When a problem presents itself to us, immediately we get somewhere by ourselves, we get quiet, we realize and recognize here is a mental image stemming from the belief in two powers. But the belief in two powers was not made by God, and therefore it was not made. This is a mental image in the mind, a belief, a theory, a rumor, a nothingness. And we sit still. We sit still, no longer fighting, not practicing anything except the presence. And in the stillness, as we listen, as we are receptive, God itself speaks. And the earth melts. We may hear, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Or, "It is I am the only presence here, be not afraid." Or, "I am with you always, I will never leave you." Or, "God is on the scene, be still." Or simply, "God is." And we stay in that stillness until there's an inner reassurance, an inner click, an inner release, an inner sense of peace, an inner stirring, an inner quickening, an inner awakening, an inner impartation. And we know it is finished. We go on about our business and discover that the problem fades out. In a normal, natural way. With practice, over and over, meeting problem after problem, we develop the Christ consciousness that can meet any problem. We develop the Christ consciousness which, with practice and living, becomes the presence of Christ on earth, the presence of Christ appearing individually on this plane. We discover, "I live, yet not I. Christ is living me." And this has become an actual experience, an actual awareness. We have learned to practice the basics by practicing the presence, practicing meditation, practicing watching and being a beholder of the healing Christ consciousness. And these are really the three steps that I am calling the basics. And the reason for getting back to basics is because this is the house, the consciousness that we are building. I understand, as well as you, that in the absolute, Christ consciousness is what I am. All I have been seeking, I already am. but that does me no good if I do not practice the basics. Because in practicing these basics, we have the actual living feeling awareness of that Christ consciousness. Until we reach the place, we reach the stage of consciousness where it takes over and begins living us. This is the stage that Christ Jesus was at when the woman pressed through the throng and touched the hem of his robe, or the edge of his consciousness, and he felt something happen. It was living him. And it must live you with your full and complete conscious awareness of it doing that, so that you too have the experience, as Christ Jesus did, something just happened. You feel something flow through you. You recognize an impartation is coming through. You feel that healing presence flowing. You feel the divine presence speaking through you. Consciously, you are aware of it, just as much as you are aware of sitting down in your chair, or you're aware of the person in front of you. The presence becomes an actual living reality. You are aware of it. You're not thinking about it. You're not talking about it. You're no longer reading about it, except for once in a while to help you center down before your meditation, but you are now consciously aware. It's an awareness of a living, infinite presence. And then from then, the next steps, because there is really an infinite number of steps, that presence, that consciousness, that divine healing influence, that spirit, the presence of God, teaches you and takes you the rest of the way. They shall all be taught of God, but only after they've developed the conscious awareness of God, not before. Before that, we need each other. And two, sometimes, even though you are being taught of God, the message will come through a book, a person, a mountain, a stream, the sun, the earth, or just through your intuition and insight. God being all, God can teach you through and as anything and anyone. So, these are some of the basics, and some of the things that we have to remember is we do not graduate from one to the other. We evolve. I have been practicing these principles for 35 years, at least in this incarnation, and most definitely before this one. And yet I guarantee you I still have to remember to practice the presence. Now, I do have the experience of this presence practicing me, coming out of the blue sometimes when I'm not even thinking about it and just driving down the street, or coming to me in the middle of the night and delivering a message. Lots of ways. But I still practice the presence because I feel that rather than coasting and just, say, watching TV or listening to a radio talk show or just looking at the pictures going by me in my daily life, I find that I am much more able to meditate and have that conscious awareness if I have been filling myself with truth throughout the day. And so I still practice the presence. I have not gotten away from that basic. And I most definitely still practice meditation, even though I know that when the state of receptivity is developed to the point of having a constant conscious awareness, meditation will leave, because we will be that receptivity. You see, meditation is there for us to practice until we have become that conscious awareness, or that conscious awareness has become us. And then what need of meditation? You are constantly meditating. There's never a time when you go in or come out. You understand? So I am aware of that. I know that. Yet, I still practice meditation. Why? Because I have things to do. I have a life to live. I have responsibilities. And it pulls my attention out here. It focuses my attention on things to do. So meditation helps me to center back within myself, within my consciousness, and reestablish that conscious awareness. So I still practice the basic of meditation. And I understand, too, that when you develop that Christ consciousness to the point where it takes over, then like Christ Jesus, you will be Christ Jim, Christ Mary, and someone pressing through the throng that touches the hem of your robe or the outer edge of your consciousness will be healed without you having to go through any process whatsoever, because the Christ healing consciousness touching that, the problem will dissolve. However, we are not yet developed to that point. So we still practice the art of spiritual healing, and I still go back to the basics of giving myself a treatment. And what is a treatment? Well, we described that. We've been having them, several of them already in this talk. A treatment is simply what I do in order to prepare myself to receive the Holy Spirit. Or, if you prefer, to prepare myself to be still, to be quiet, so that I may have the conscious awareness of God that is ising. Now, God won't give me a treatment. I myself have to do that. And so when I sit down and I close my eyes and I look at truth or scripture or rehearse a truth in my mind, when I know something like the nature of this problem presenting itself to me is universal belief in two powers, and it has no substance, no cause, no law, it is nothingness, and so I am still here. I rest and I listen. Now, Father, you speak. All of that is a treatment which I'm giving to myself simply to prepare myself to center within, to become still, so that I may be receptive to God, to the presence, to God speaking. Not that God is going to suddenly speak because I've done something to make God speak. No, no, no. God is speaking all the time. But as I said, my attention gets focused out here. And so by practicing the presence, practicing the art of meditation, practicing spiritual healing, by giving myself a treatment, I am able to become still. So still that I feel a stirring, as I just did a moment ago, and I know that God is on the field, and I can relax. I can relax and let go whatever it was that was troubling me. whatever the appearance was. And that I am free. Free to go on with my daily life, practicing the presence. And so, a treatment is something I give myself. I never treat anything out here because there's nothing out here to treat. If I understand that God is omnipresent, there's nothing to treat except this mental image appearing in the mind. The belief in two powers, which is nothingness, belongs to no one and is nothingness, you see? So treatment is necessary. And as I say, although I've been walking this path for a long, long time, I still practice treatment. Now, there are sometimes days that go by that I am in what I call the flow. I'm in the conscious awareness of the living presence of God. And it is extended for several days. But then, again, it leaves, and I'm consciously aware of things I need to do out here, my attention's back out here, and so yes, I need to still practice treatment at times in order to gain that stillness. Now, there are also other times when all I have to do is close my eyes for less than a second, and I receive an impartation from the presence of God, from that Christ consciousness, from that Spirit. But there are other times when I don't. I close my eyes and nothing. And so I recognize, okay, I'll get back to the basics. And I do. I return to the basics again and again. Now, as regards to spiritual healing, what are you supposed to do if you can't meet the problem? What are you supposed to do if the problem persists? Well, number one, getting back to basics, you are not to condemn yourself or feel that you are not making any progress or to berate yourself in any way. That won't help develop the Christ consciousness, now will it? Easy does it. Remember a couple of things. You remember Christ Jesus healing the man's eyes? And he asked the man, "What do you see?" And the man said, "I see what looks like trees walking around." So Christ Jesus went through the treatment again and said, "Now what do you see?" And the man said, "I see people." And so it took the master, the greatest healer of all time, Christ Jesus, two treatments. And this is the master that had 100% success rate at healing. What about Joel? Joel healed 300 cases of flu in one day, over 300. And yet, he speaks of a time in his life when he could not demonstrate supply. In other words, he was broke. He had 10 cents, and that was it. And he is adamant about it. He was very broke and had a very difficult time with supply in his life at that moment. And so he had five practitioners working with him on his problem of supply to come to a place in consciousness where it would dissolve. And it didn't work until he had an inner realization that I am supply. And so I believe this persisted for weeks, if not months. And so the point I am making, getting back to basics now, there is absolutely nothing wrong with asking for help. Ask one practitioner to help you to meet this problem. And if the practitioner is a spiritual healer, then they will work on knowing that the problem is nothingness, and they will work on lifting up the I within you, lifting up the Christ within you, lifting up the Son of God within you. And if that isn't enough, ask two, ask three, four, five, like Joel did. There's nothing wrong with it. If you believe that we have coexisted with God from the beginning, then think of lifetime after lifetime after lifetime of being focused on the without, living a completely human life with no conscious awareness ever, only a theory or a belief about God. We've all done it. You can't possibly expect to turn that around and have the ongoing, constant, conscious awareness of God forever, starting right now. We come to this by degrees. And so if you need some help, ask for the help, so that you may be lifted up and come into the conscious awareness. The day will come when you will have the conscious awareness most of the time. But there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't have it now. Would you give me a little help? Lift me up in your consciousness. Please, please do not hesitate to ask once, twice, five times, as many people as it takes. And if you look at it in another way, because we have been doing this for eons of time, for centuries after century, the very fact that we can, in one lifetime, in one lifespan, reach the place where we are almost constantly consciously aware of the presence, means in fact that we really have been rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence of which we had not even dreamed. It's just fabulous the amount of progress we have made. So do not belittle yourself or berate yourself or put yourself down or feel that you are making no progress, because it's just not true. You are rocketing forward. Getting back to basics means that we practice the presence, practice the art of meditation, practice spiritual healing, ask for help when we need it, consult the writings, read scripture. If you get the monthly letter, that's a good thing. That has many things you can contemplate. And do not be afraid to spend your time when you're not in meditation, that is, in the stillness, do not be afraid to spend it in contemplation or pondering these truths. The more you fill yourself with pondering these truths, the easier it will be the next time you sit down to meditate, to enter the silence. So much so that Joel said once upon a time that his book, The Contemplative Life, was his Bible. He carried it around everywhere. So he valued contemplation very highly, and you should too. And finally, getting back to basics means that we should have fellowship with one another. If you're in a position where you can attend a class in person or a lecture, if you're in a position where you can attend a tape group or start one, if you're in a position where you can be with other souls who are on the spiritual path and practicing these principles, then you will benefit by being in their presence, because they are lifting you up. Even so, should you be lifting them up. And together, you lift each other up higher and higher in consciousness. Just coming into the presence of someone that is in a higher state of consciousness, in a higher state of conscious awareness, helps you, because you feel it. You feel the lack of criticism or judgment. You feel the love, the spirit. You feel the presence. And so being there, well, where two or more are gathered together in my name, that is, in my way, in my nature, in my presence, there am I in the midst of them. And so having fellowship, gathering together, meditating together, listening to a talk or a tape together, helps lift you up to that place where you will have the conscious awareness on a continuing basis. I love as much as the next person dwelling on the absolute, that God is and only God is, and God is that which I am, and God is that which you are, and God is the all in all. But I do not have that awareness all the time. I have glimpses of it. I have sometimes days of it. But then I, like everyone else, like you, fall back into, or have my attention focused back on, the world out here. And so I have to return to the basics until I have the next mountaintop experience, and then I enjoy it while I'm in it, until eventually it becomes my permanent dwelling place. So let's all feel comfortable with returning to the basics whenever we need to. And let's not forget what the basics are. I have made this talk today, and hopefully this will help you see that we're all the same. We're all walking this path. All of us are students. I am a student. You are students of the infinite Christ consciousness. And it may write through you, and I pick it up and read it, and I feel lifted up. It may talk through me, and you may listen to it and feel lifted up. But it is the same infinite Christ consciousness lifting itself up into a remembrance, a conscious awareness that I and the Father are one. And so let us walk together with our arms around each other, and let us love one another, for this love is of God. Getting back to basics, let us have love for one another, and let us show it tangibly in expressions of love. And hopefully this talk today is just that, an expression of love through me to you, in remembering that we are one family. And it is okay to get back to basics. thank you, and blessings, Godspeed, as you walk this path toward the constant conscious awareness of the living omnipresence itself. Thank you.